Let's pray together. Lord, as our hearts shout to you how great you are, Lord, we want more knowledge and more experience to know who you are. We pray, O Lord, we ask your Spirit to open our eyes and awaken us to who you are by the power of your word and teach us to know you more. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. What will people say about you when you die? You ever thought about that? What will people say about you when you die? What will your obituary read? Alfred Nobel got a chance to read his own obituary. In 1888, Alfred's brother, Ludwig, died. And because of some mix-up in communication, the French papers there wrote up an obituary for Alfred Nobel. Alfred Nobel turned in the paper and learned that as he was an inventor and invented something to help his mining family to explode the ground, what later would be known as TNT, he found out that he was branded as a merchant of death who had grown rich by developing new ways to mutilate and kill, as his discovery was used in ways that he didn't intend. Alfred Nobel read his own obituary, and most people believe it's what changed his life. And while he was made rich off of his discovery, it is believed, with good reason to believe, that his will and testament, his last will and testament, was changed after he read his obituary. And it is now what we celebrate even today, over 140 years later, as the Nobel Peace Prize. Because he devoted all of his life earnings to encouraging people to develop things that would lead to the betterment of humanity rather than the destruction of humanity. And as you've heard of today, the Nobel Peace Prize, prizes that are given each year, they are given in a response to Alfred Nobel's goal after he read his own obituary. Something changed in his life that day and transformed him to a new person, if you will. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open up to 2 Kings chapter 22. Lots of twos this morning. I hope you'll remember it that way. There is only one way to see God, and we see an example of that in 2 Kings 22. You want to know one way to see God? 2 Kings 22 can help you. As we look there, we're going to look at King Josiah today. King Josiah, and your heading may have something like King Josiah's reform. King Josiah had one such reformation in his life, similar to Alfred Nobel. It was something that changed his life. And we're going to find out what it is that changes Josiah's life. So if you're with me, would you say amen? All right, let's dig in and see what the Word of God has for us this morning. Let me remind you, we're walking through the story of redemption this year in our church. We're reading through the Bible, and this is what we read this week. And this is one of the great pieces to your redemption, is knowing how the reform takes place in your life. So let's find out what happened to Josiah. Verse 1, in the 18th year of King Josiah, the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, son of Meshulam, the secretary, to the house of the Lord. Josiah sent this man to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, who's the high priest, that he might count the money that has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the threshold have collected from the peoples. And let it be given to the hand of the workmen who have oversight on the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the workmen who are in the house of the Lord, doing what? Repairing the house. So at this point, what we know is there are repairs going on in the house of the Lord, or in the temple of God. Josiah has instituted some repairs. Now, to give you a little bit of background, Josiah's grandfather was one of the most wicked kings in all of Judah. And his father was a wicked king that did not seek the Lord either. So in come young Josiah with a desire to invest into the house of the Lord. His heart was bent towards pleasing God and using his resources for good. So he said, let's repair the house of the Lord. They collected from all the people, and now he's delivering this collection to Hilkiah the priest in order for him to dictate how the house of the Lord is going to be repaired. Are you with me? Verse 6. That is, to the carpenters, to the builders, to the masons, give them the money so they can repair. And let them use it for buying timber, quarried stone, and repair the house. But no accounting shall be asked from them for the money that's delivered in their hand, for they deal honestly. So what's Josiah doing here? He's trusting the priests to do their job. Look, I want y'all to fix the temple, and I'm just giving you the money. Do what's right. And it shows you that he's trusting them to do what is right. His desire is to have worship of God be done in the house of the Lord in a repaired and a place that is given resources so that God is honored. Look around, church. You see a place in which people invest time each week in this church building so that God is honored. And that was the desire of Josiah's heart. I want to give God my best. That's what he did. The story continues. Verse 8, and Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan, the secretary, came to the king and reported to the king, your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who have oversight of the house of the Lord. Then Shaphan, the secretary, told the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it to the king. Imagine that. The priest finds the instruction manual to the church. This ought to tell us something. For years, the worship of the living God had been abandoned and rejected and ignored. They don't know what they're doing. All they're doing is taking traditions from pagan rituals and godless people for the last who knows how many years. And now they begin to put an emphasis, a priority on the worship of God. And they find this book of the law that tells them how to do it. Can you imagine Hilkiah coming, going down? And what most scholars believe they're alluding to here is near the Ark of the Covenant, there was a copy a scroll sitting next to the Ark of the Covenant with portions of Moses' writings, the book of the law. And most people believe it included sections of Deuteronomy because these are the things they're going to start doing. But can you imagine going down there and finding what Moses wrote that had been ignored for so long? And all of these things that they were told to do were just not happening because nobody knew or wanted to do them. So Hilkiah takes this and he gives it to Shaphan, and Shaphan brings it to the king, and the king's like, what? Maybe this can help us, because I wanted to worship God and now I have this stuff to help us instructed me on how to worship God. Let's keep reading. When the king, verse 11, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, what did he do? He tore his clothes. Shouldn't he be happy? He just found the instruction manual on worship. He just found the command, the very word of God that the country had been forsaking and hadn't had. He found the word of God and it's read to him. And he tears his clothes? Now, if you're not familiar with biblical phrases and things that happen, when you tear your clothes, you're not happy. That is a sign of mourning and grief and great disgust. In our day and age, you watch a baseball game and you see somebody strike out and they start throwing stuff all over the dugout. They're mad. They're disgusted. Well, on this day, he's tearing his clothes. He's sad and mourning and grieving. So I must ask, as the reader, we must ask, why? Why is he tearing his clothes? Shouldn't he be happy? Put yourself in the king's position. You've just found out that for years and years and years, what's been commanded of God for you to do, you have ignored. You've neglected. You haven't done anything that you're supposed to be doing. And you find here exactly what you're supposed to be doing and realize that you are deficient. You ever done that before? You ever find out something that you were supposed to be doing on the job? I've done it several times. You're working, you're doing what you know to be, what you're supposed to be doing, and then you find something, you read a policy. We've done it here in our church. You find, you go to the plans and policy, you go, we were supposed to be doing that all along. You're deficient. You hadn't been doing what you're supposed to do. And here's the king of the whole nation saying, God, I have not done worship the way it's supposed to be done for years. And so he tears his clothes. He's broken over this. Let's keep reading. Verse 12. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Akbar, the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan, the secretary, and Aziah, the king's servant, saying, go, and listen to this one, go, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all of Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. Broken. Guilty, accountable. Imagine yourself when you are driving down the road and you see lights, police lights behind you, and you look down at your speedometer and you say, I'm going 55. And then immediately you look up and you see that speed limit sign that says speed limit 40. Your heart drops. And you go, oh man. And so you pull over and you say, officer says, what's the officer say? Do you know how fast you were going? I know who's been pulled over. Officer, I was going 55. You know what the speed limit is? It was 40. Guilty. And here's the guilty king. guilty, not before a police officer, but before God. And so he is broken. Verse 14. So Hilkiah the high priest and Ahikam and Achbor and Shaphan and Asaiah went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, son of Harkas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter. And they talked with her, and they said to her, and she said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants." Imagine the messengers, they hear the word and they go, "Oh man, all the words," she continues, "of this book that the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and have made offerings to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands, and therefore my wrath will be kindled against this place, and it will not be quenched." Now it's your job to go back to the king. Tell him, "Josiah, it's bad. It's bad. It's bad. The Lord is going to carry out his wrath. You know we deserved it, and he's going to carry it out." And then Huldah continues, "But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was penitent and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard how I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers." In other words, when you die, "I will gather you to your fathers. You shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the disaster that I will bring upon this place." And they brought back the word to the king. So the king hears this. Here's Josiah hearing the words, and he hears the first half of Huldah's prophecy. And his head is hanging. Ah, guilty, guilty, guilty. The wrath of God is coming. Destruction is coming. And then he gets a bit of good news at the end, sort of. "But because of the way you responded, Josiah, you will not be destroyed. And I will bring you to your grave without having seen all the disaster that will come." And if you know Jewish history, this is exactly what happens. Josiah does not see the disaster that does come some years after Josiah, not too long after. But it's a good news, a bad news situation. But let me draw your attention to something here. Why was Josiah treated differently than anyone else? Why is Josiah treated differently than the future kings? Did you hear the way the Lord responded? Shall I read it again? Verse 19. Look at the beginning of verse 19. Because what, church? What is penitent anyway? Penitent. We don't use that word very often, do we? You ever heard the word penitentiary? What's a penitentiary? It's a prison, right? It's a place where people go to be made right again. The intent of prison was to correct people's hearts and attitudes and then put them back into society as corrected people. They're also called correctional institutes. And sometimes that happens, and oftentimes it doesn't. But a penitentiary is a place to where it's supposed to make people what? Penitent. And what is penitent? I'll give you another illustration. We walked to our neighbors this week and they were watching the third Indiana Jones movie, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, I think it was. And there's some clues and they're trying to make this way to find the Holy Grail there. And one of the clues is, if y'all have seen it, what is it? The penitent man shall pass. You ever seen this? One of my favorite movie scenes ever, this whole task in the third Indiana Jones. The penitent man shall pass. And you see Indiana Jones there, he's the hero. He's going, the penitent man shall pass. The penitent man shall pass. What does this mean? The penitent man shall pass. And if you look around the room, you see all of these bodies of people who have tried to make this trek before. And you see their body and you see their head somewhere else. And it's gruesome. But Indiana Jones, as he's putting all these pieces together, the penitent man, the shall pass. And he goes immediately, and what does he do? He falls to his knees. Because what does a penitent man do? He's humble. A penitent man gets on his knees. And what happens in the movie is this blade comes and it chops right above his head. The penitent man, the man on his knees, will pass. And Indiana Jones makes it through because he's penitent. He's made it to his knees. And this is exactly what Josiah has done. He's fallen to his knees and he hasn't said, but God, I was right. But God, my excuses, my dad and my grandpa, they didn't tell me. But God, I didn't have your book. I didn't know what to do. But God, it's not my fault. It's Hilkiah's fault. He's the priest. He's supposed to know what to do. But God, he didn't do any of that. Because your heart was penitent. Penitent. And you humbled yourself before the Lord. I have heard you. Alfred Nobel's life was changed when he heard the news of who he was perceived by the world to be. This morning, my hope and prayer is that your life will be changed when you see the glory of God. And I know it's just a movie, but this is not a movie. This is the Word of God. The penitent men shall pass in the movie. The penitent man was received by God in the Word of God. So at this point, what I must share with you is this. There is a way to see and to know God. And Josiah found it. It was not to blame somebody else for his problems, for his deficiencies, and for his law breaking. It was not to look to grandpa or to dad or to the high priest. It was to be penitent before God and say, God, I have messed up. I am broken. I am wrong. God, I'm wrong. Did you know that the New Testament teaches us and the Old Testament tells us about Jesus Christ, who came to save sinners? Did you know that the Scripture teaches us that Jesus came offering people a way to know God? Did you know that Jesus Christ came down here and lived some 33 years in perfection? That he was rejected by his own nation? That he was hung upon a cross and died as a perfect man, was buried in a tomb, and 3 days later was raised to new life so that you could know God? But his grace does not reach everyone. Everyone cannot or does not know God. Because only the penitent man can receive the grace of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And what that means is this. What I mean by that is this. You can have peace with God, but it is only through penitence that you can receive that. By faith, believing that Jesus Christ, that one who I told you about, that Jesus Christ can pay your debt, and that by believing in Jesus Christ, and by faith following him and repenting of your old way and turning to him in your new way, or in a new way of life, can you receive the grace and pass, if you will. And this is what Josiah modeled for us. Not making excuses, but making a confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is what we as Christians celebrate. This is what Christian faith is all about. Not defending yourself. Not telling God why, but by confessing, Lord, I need your Son, Jesus Christ. I am willing to give myself wholly and completely that I might receive your mercy, O God. And this is what the gospel teaches us. We are sinful before God, but we can be saved through Jesus Christ if we are willing to repent and believe in Jesus Christ our Lord. Christian, amen?
Amen,
amen Christian?
Amen.
The penitent man will pass. Let's look at chapter 23 for a moment. While you're getting there, let me read one other verse I put down here. This is really good. James chapter 4, verse 6. If you don't understand my words, take James's words and please take them before my words. In fact, James said this, therefore, the scripture says, God opposes the proud. God opposes the one who defends himself in his own sight. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to who? To the humble, to the penitent. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourself. Fall on your knees, therefore, before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Mourn over your sin. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord. Tear your clothes before God, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up. Literally, he will lift you up. In the last day, he will lift you up, Christian. Tear your clothes before the Lord today and say, Lord, I am sorry. I'm guilty. Forgive me in the name of Jesus, Lord. Forgive me. This is penitence. This is life changing. Look what happens in Josiah's life. Y'all still with me? Y'all still with me? Man, this is such a good story. I love this story. Chapter 23, verse 1. Then the king sent, and all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem were gathered to him, and the king went up to the house of the Lord. And with him all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both great and small. And he read in their hearing the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. Don't you love this? Josiah is so fired up. We found the words of God. All right, everybody, come on. Everybody, get in here. Y'all have got to hear this. Now, mind you, these are the words that made him tear his clothes and weep. And he assembles everybody he can find. Y'all got to hear this. Does he want everybody to weep and everybody to tear their clothes? What I see is a man who loves something. And when you love something, you want to share it, right? Right? I can remember being at Mackenzie's 16th birthday party. And she walked outside. And there she was. That white, beautiful first vehicle. She was so excited. And what she saw was pure beauty. And she wanted everybody to know about this vehicle. Did you do the same thing when you got your first vehicle? Like, oh, look, everybody, you got to put somebody in the passenger seat. Like, look, and it does this, and it's got this, and look at the lights when I do this. And David put me in his car and said, look how fast it goes. When you love something, you want to share it. You want to share it. And this is exactly what happened. He loved God. He loved God. And he said, look, y'all come here. This is God. This is what he's got for us. Look, I love this God. You've got to see this God. Verse 3. And the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all of his heart and all of his soul. When you love something, you want to share it. When you love something, you want to commit to it. December 14th, 1996, I made a commitment to my bride. And I said, I am forsaking every other woman in this world because I want you. She didn't pay me. She didn't coerce me. She didn't blackmail me. She didn't do anything. I said, I want to commit myself to you, Allison Michelle Terrell, because I loved her. And it was my joy. I'd do it again. Because I love her. When you love something, you commit to it. And that's what the Christian view of marriage is. We're modeling the commitment that we can make to God and the commitment that God has made to us. We're modeling that. That's what our marriages are. And the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord. Lord, I'm going to seek to obey you. I'm going to seek to walk after your ways and your commandments and your statutes and testimonies, not because you forced me to, but because I love you. Because I'm committed to you. If you love something, you share it. If you love something, you commit to it. Christian, I know some of you deeply love the Lord your God. And your pastor doesn't have to tell you to come to church. Your pastor doesn't have to tell you to go pray or to go serve somebody, cook a meal for somebody, or call somebody and visit somebody or see somebody in the hospital. I don't tell you to do those things. I may give you some ideas. Here's some ways you can express your love to God. Go do this. You do what you do because you love God, or you don't do what you don't do because you don't love God. It's just the way it is. If you're not doing what you think you should be doing, examine your love for God. What did Jesus say the greatest commandment was for us to do? Y'all know this, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love God. So look, as your pastor this morning, what I'm telling you is exactly what Jesus said. Go love God. Go love God, y'all. When you love God, you do things right. When you love God, you love other people. When you love God, you fight sin in your life. You don't dwell in unholiness and unrighteousness. When you love God, you have a daily battle. So y'all go love God. Find out things that are good and do them. Find out things that are bad and stay away from them. This is the message in the heart of Josiah the king. I encourage you, again, I'm not going to finish everything I have prepared today. I encourage you, go read the rest of the chapter 23. You're going to see, not only did Josiah love God, but he did something about it. And he starts knocking down altars and tearing things down and getting rid of stuff. And like, he goes crazy. In a good way. Because he loved God. Nobody told him, go do this stuff. He just did it. I want to do what God would make God happy. Lord, I want you pleased. I'm going to do it. So look, I'm telling y'all, this Christianity, it's simple, but it's not easy. Right, Belinda? Go do stuff that expresses your love for God. That's your big message for the day. And when you die, and they write your obituary, my hope and prayer for you, right there, at the beginning of your obituary, be, this man loved God. This woman loved the Lord. And if they write that about you, mission accomplished. That's all you need. Make it short, make it sweet. Keith Horton loved the Lord his God. Let's pray. Lord, you've given us such a great model today of Josiah and reform and change and transformation. Lord, your word is so powerful. Lord, we pray that you transform us by the renewing of our mind, as Tyler read earlier in the service. Transform us, Lord, so we love you and we do good things. Lord, that's our prayer this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.